mpp.org.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Yeah! Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty, and welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, July 29th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We are back from the middle of America, up in the mitten there that is Michigan. I was in Clio, Michigan. It's not Clio. It's Clio. I was in Clio, Michigan, and believe me, I feel you, man. It's Boise, not Boise. But I was in Clio, Michigan for the High Times Cannabis Cup, and great place because it's kind of like out in the middle of nowhere, really. It's an auto speedway, right? So they have this, they have the big grandstands, and they have the fenced-off speedway area, and that's where the medicating area was at this High Times Cannabis Cup. And then behind the grandstands and off kind of to the side were the nonprofits and the, you know, the food vendors and such. So it really made for a great layout because that medicated area, unlike say in the California or the Colorado Cups, was very expansive. There's plenty of room to move around. And we had ourselves a really good time, got a lot of great interviews that we're going to play throughout the rest of this week, and panels that we're going to play in the Toker Talk Radio Hour, including this, the first panel that we'll show you will be mine. I did the amendment speech, something that I did at the Texas Regional Normal Conference. I did this for the High Times crowd, and you'll get to see that in its entirety in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. And for our interview from the Michigan Cannabis Cup, we'll put that in the rant segment today. We're going to be speaking with Keeman Dayhuff. She is with Michigan Moms United. She was in the booth right next to mine there, and she had a very interesting campaign going on. That has to do with a tactic that police use for intimidating people in marijuana cases that, you know, I would never thought of it until I saw the t-shirt. You're going to have to wait to see what the t-shirt says. Not exactly safe for work, but it's safe for this show. Also, we have got an interview coming up at 1:30. We're going to speak with Kim Russell. She's with People United for Medical Marijuana down there in Florida. We'll ask her about the great Quinnipiac University poll showing 88% support for medical marijuana. But at the beginning, we always start off with our 420 radio news, and that means we welcome back to our show our Colorado correspondent, the great Priscilla Seibin. How you doing, Priscilla?
I'm great. Thanks, Russ. It's a little stormy here, so we got some flash flooding warnings going on. I'm a little sketchy about that, but other than that, all is well. All is well.
All right. Well, we'll keep you on the audio only there for the connection's sake, but we'll get to the news. And in the headlines, of course, over the weekend, the New York Times editorial board called for the legalization of marijuana. Did you get a chance to look at that, Priscilla?
I did. It's so exciting.
Yeah, it's
that is awesome.
Pretty amazing. And an apt comparison was made that this was a moment like when Walter Cronkite back in the Vietnam War era came on. You know, Walter Cronkite, the newscaster, came on and basically said that, you know, we were going to lose the war in Vietnam. And that shifted the tide, shifted the American opinion of the Vietnam War. A lot of commentators saying it's very similar to that. So we'll talk about that. Also, the LA Times is looking at drug courts. We've got a proposal for legalizing CBD oil at the federal level. We've got a proposal from the senators in Washington and Colorado to get more guidance on legalized marijuana. That Quinnipiac University poll in Florida, we'll talk about that. Washington's sluggish rollout causing some problems for the retail industry there and tourism. And a new study on how legalization will impact the state of Alaska. Plus, in the Behind the Headlines segment, I'm going to show you how some of the drug war dinosaurs are reacting to the New York Times legalization. And also in Hour 2, High Times' Bobby Black will join us. So stick around, plenty on today's Russ Melville Show. And Bacon Dan's in the studio. Back from the Great White North, eh?
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show. the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz thinks it's okay for medical marijuana patients to go to federal prison. On May 30th, she voted against an amendment that would respect Florida's new laws and protect Florida's patients. Even though 88% of Florida voters support medical marijuana, why would Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz vote to send patients like this to prison? Is Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz out of touch with Florida?
Electric Bob's Boogaloo, every Tuesday at 5 and 8 Pacific on 4.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away. And if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
It's time for a new approach on marijuana. NewApproachOregon.com. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Simon.
All right, everybody, it's your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, July 29th, 2014. The New York Times editorial board has come out in favor of legalizing marijuana. In its Sunday editorial that launched a week-long series of editorials in favor of legalization, the Times wrote, quote, "It has been more than 40 years since Congress passed the current ban on marijuana, inflicting great harm on society just to prohibit a substance far less dangerous than alcohol," end quote. The editorial entitled "Repeal Prohibition Again" explains, quote, "There are no perfect answers to people's legitimate concerns about marijuana use. But neither are there such answers about tobacco and alcohol. And we believe that on every level, health effects, the impact on society, and law and order issues, the balance falls squarely on the side of national legalization," end quote. Reaction to the editorials has reverberated throughout national media, with most responses in support of the Times' decision to support legalization.
That's right. And when we get to behind the headlines after this segment, I'll tell you some of the few negative reactions that are coming out from some of the usual suspects. To me, my favorite part of the editorial with the New York Times is when they said, it was something to the effect of, there are legitimate concerns about youth and marijuana use. That's why we advocate legalizing for adults 21 and over. Done. That's it. We're not going to discuss it anymore. It's like, of course, weed's bad for kids if they're using it in excess. Nobody's talking about legalizing weed for kids. And by every indication, what we're doing now with prohibition isn't stopping kids from getting weed. So why shouldn't we try something new where we put the weed in adults only stores and we check kids' IDs for it? You know, like they did in Colorado recently, Priscilla, they had that sting and they couldn't find any pot shop that would sell the kids.
Oh, for 21. We were on point, man. We know what's up. The Los Angeles Times, meanwhile, is focusing on one of the most pernicious aspects of the drug war, drug courts. The story notes that, quote, "Those charged with marijuana possession are the single largest group of offenders sent to drug court treatment programs," end quote. John Roman, a senior analyst at the Urban Institute, says, quote, "The problem is very few people who have those serious problems get into one of those drug courts. Instead, we take all kinds of people into drug court who don't have serious problems," end quote. The story mentions marijuana possessors who once may have gotten off with a small fine who are now enrolled into drug courts and treatments for months, which they must pay for. Harold Pollock, a professor at University of Chicago, explains, quote, people want these programs to be successful, end quote, and that a major reason the drug courts can boast such success is because they avoid tackling the hard cases.
Yeah, and this is something we've been saying here on the Russ Belville Show for years now, is that this is the lie of drug courts. You go and you get a whole bunch of people to get into your drug court program. Well, you don't want the people that have a serious addiction to cocaine, meth, or heroin. They're tough to rehab. But you get a whole bunch of pot smokers who have jobs and health insurance that will pay for the rehab, of course. But they have jobs, and you threaten them with a loss of their job or incarceration at the threat of, you know, P-tests that determine whether or not they're going to go to jail. Wow, what an amazing success rate you have getting those addicts to stop using marijuana. That's exactly the scam that's going on here with the drug court system. And of course, they're always going to go after the marijuana users because we are the ones that are employable and we are the ones that have the money to pay for those drug court systems.
A Republican congressman from Pennsylvania has proposed a bill to remove high CBD / low THC marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act. The Charlotte's Web Medical Hemp Act of 2014 would legalize not just the famous Charlotte's Web strain popularized in the Dr. Sanjay Gupta documentary Weed, but any cannabis strain containing less than 0.3% THC. Quote, no one should face a choice of having their child suffer or moving to Colorado and splitting up their family, said Representative Scott Perry, the bill's sponsors. Quote, we live in America, and if there's something that would make my child feel better and they can't get it because of the government, that's not right, end quote. In this year alone, 11 states have legalized the use of non-psychoactive form of medical marijuana with near unanimous support in their state legislatures.
Yeah, and it's an interesting little framing shift we're getting with this now. They're calling it therapeutic hemp or medical hemp. Anything we can do to distinguish that, no, this isn't the evil, icky marijuana that has THC in it that gets you high. And the problem, of course, with that framing is that it's that same kind of we're patients, not criminals framing. Well, gee, if it's not therapeutic hemp, then it must be marijuana, the evil stuff that people smoke to get high. And to me, it's just a demonization, a backhanded demonization of THC and a diminishing of its medical utility, the pain-killing utility of THC, how it helps people with post-traumatic stress. I mean, there's so much anxiety and so forth. And even for these people that need the CBD treatments, they need a certain ratio of THC to help it along as well. And a lot of these, you know, the CBD legislations, you know, less than 0.3% THC is oftentimes, you know, hard to get when we're talking about breeding these plants, and oftentimes ineffective for these people that need a stronger ratio of THC.
The true combination of the two is what I've heard is definitely really beneficial, a combination of the CBD and THC.
Exactly. And so the true solution for medical marijuana is just legalization of marijuana.
The senators from Washington and Colorado are urging the Obama administration to give clear guidance to their states as legalization rolls on. Democratic Senators Michael Bennett and Mark Udall of Colorado and Maria Cantwell and Patty Murray of Washington wrote a letter to White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough and Attorney General Eric Holder to call for a, quote, clear and consistent and uniform interpretation and application, end quote, of federal drug laws in relation to their home states. Quote, we believe the federal government should support Colorado and Washington states' effort to establish a successful regulatory framework in a way that achieves greater certainty for local officials, citizens, and business owners, end quote, in the cannabis industry, the senators wrote in the letter dated Monday. The senators said that uncertainty regarding the implementation of federal laws restricting possession and distribution of marijuana, quote, may undermine our state's ability to regulate the industry adequately.
Let me translate from Washington speak. Hey, there's a whole bunch of people here that are making money, and they want to donate money to political campaigns, but they're afraid their ability to continue making huge gobs of money is going to be impacted if, say, you know, a President Christie shows up or some Republican ends up in office and starts calling the federal dogs on all, you know, all the alphabet agencies on all these guys trying to make stacks of money. So in the interest of making stacks of money, could you come up with some, you know, consistency here on how these businesses can move forward, reaping their stacks of money and hopefully donating it to some of our political campaigns?
A new Quinnipiac University poll shows already huge support for medical marijuana is growing. As was found in their May poll, 88% of Florida voters support medical marijuana, with seniors' support sitting at 83% and Republicans at 80%. Question 2, the proposed medical marijuana amendment in Florida needs 60% of the vote to pass. When it passes, 71% of Floridians would be comfortable with a dispensary in their neighborhood, with 57% of seniors and 58% of Republicans in support. When it comes to recreational legalization, 55% are in support, up from 48% last November. Women trail men by 15 points, with 61% of men for legalization, but only 49% of women.
And still, though, that 49% is a plurality. It's like 49 versus 45 that are against it. So even though women are far, far behind, like they usually are in support for legalization, they still support legalization. And even the scare story of, oh, my God, there's going to be a pot shop in your backyard, doesn't scare people either. The seniors and the Republicans are probably going, well, good, I can walk to it. That'll be great. Oh, man. And to have this happening in Florida, the home of Kevin Sabet and the University of Florida Drug Policy Institute that he leads up, that's just a sweet icing on the cake.
Oh, yeah. The sluggish rollout of Washington State's legal marijuana market is putting a damper on marijuana tourism. According to Allison Holcomb, who drafted Initiative 502 that legalized marijuana, just 80 of over 2,600 growers who applied to the state have been issued growers' licenses, with only 30% of land allotted to marijuana grows currently licensed. Currently, the system is a disaster, end quote, says John Davis of the Coalition for Cannabis Standards and Ethics, who explains, quote, there's not enough marijuana to sell, end quote. Compounding the issue is Washington's requirement to separate growers, processors, and sellers, unlike Colorado, where business must consolidate all aspects of the marijuana trade. Licensed growers have taken advantage of the artificial scarcity by inflating prices and neglecting quality, causing one retailer, Ramsey Hamid, of Vancouver's Main Street Marijuana, to temporarily close his doors in protest over price gouging and products littered with stems and leaves.
Yeah, pretty sad stuff. I was reading this off the Columbian, one of the local newspapers for, you know, Southwest Washington. We're actually in contact with Ramsey Hamid out there at Main Street Marijuana and may set up a situation where we'll either interview him live there at the shop or do a whole live show there from the shop. But we'll have a great perspective from one of these shop owners on how we're dealing with Washington State's rollout, which by all accounts is really messed up, and we're looking forward to working this out.
Legal marijuana in Alaska will be a $251 million industry that will generate $20 million in new tax revenues annually. That's the message from a new report by the Alaska Cannabis Institute that estimates roughly 95,000 Alaska adults will be legal marijuana consumers in the first year of legalization. Alaska and Oregon will both be voting on adult recreational marijuana legalization this November.
All right. Good news coming out of Alaska. $251 million industry, $20 million in tax revenues. In Oregon, we're looking at what was estimated at $38.5 million in new tax revenues. And I believe a lot of the difference here will be that Alaska is going to have a higher taxing scheme than Oregon will. Oregon's going to be a pioneer here by taxing marijuana by weight, not by sales price. See, when you tax marijuana by sales price, like what's going on in Washington and in Colorado, there's incentive to keep the price high because, you know, 10% of a $200 ounce is 20 bucks. 10% of a $100 ounce is 10 bucks, right? You want to keep that price high so that you can get your tax revenues for the state. In the case of Oregon, Oregonians hate sales tax. We hate anything that resembles a sales tax. So we're going to tax marijuana by the ounce, 35 bucks an ounce. Hey, state makes the same 35 bucks on a $200 ounce that it makes on a $100 ounce. And there'll be incentive there to sell more ounces if you want to get more tax revenue. Every incentive to license as many growers as possible so you can make that tax revenue. I tell you, between Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska, we will have shown you all the best ways to legalize marijuana for the states that come around in 2016. California, we're looking at you. Take note on what we're doing right, figure out how to fix what we're doing wrong, and knock it out of the park in 2016.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. It's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. That means Priscilla has to attend a mandatory union-required local 4:20 safety break. Priscilla, you got something good for the safety break today?
I do. Just chilling with Larry.
All right, Larry OG?
Yeah, Larry OG.
All right. We'll see you next time. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
We're back with Behind the Headlines after this. You can get 4:20 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on...
Join us for the International Cannabis Business Conference September 13th and 14th in the Portland Ballroom at the Oregon Convention Center. The International Cannabis Business Conference will focus on the emerging cannabis industry in Oregon, the United States, and around the world, putting you in front of the industry's foremost entrepreneurs, political leaders, and attorneys. Also showcasing over 40 cannabis-related industry exhibitors, offering VIP lunches and free nightly networking events. Prepare yourself for America's next great industry.
What the authorities should do is decriminalize pot use. You want to do it in your house, not bother anyone? Fine. Go outside with a joint or a pipe, you pay a fine.
A majority of voters support changing failed marijuana laws. Legalization and decriminalization are mainstream solutions. We are the Marijuana Majority. MarijuanaMajority.com.
Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about 7 people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And of course, the big headline this weekend was the New York Times editorial board coming out in support of marijuana legalization at the national level. Today, we want to talk about the drug war dinosaurs reacting to the New York Times legalization evolution. Now that marijuana legalization is regularly supported by majorities in poll after poll, the dinosaurs still supporting the drug war are becoming increasingly desperate in their scaremongering. The public and even some politicians are rapidly evolving on marijuana policy, but the drug war dinosaurs can't change their ways. The New York Times week-long editorial support for legalization has all the usual prehistoric beasts thrashing about in the tar pits, wailing their last pathetic shrieks before extinction. Behold the behemoth Argentinosaurus! The Office of National Drug Control Policy, a massive bureaucratic sauropod that's grown to the size of a Boeing 737 with a $366 million budget. Where it once thundered across the land, every stomp of its federal foot shaking the earth, it now meekly offers platitudes like, quote, "The Obama administration continues to oppose legalization of marijuana and other illegal drugs because it flies in the face of a public health approach to reducing drug use and its consequences," end quote. While the president engages in beer summits, pharmaceutical ads rule the airwaves, and the drug war budget is still 60% drug war to 40% public health approach. Now witness the deceptively powerful Triceratops, the American Society for Addiction Medicine, whose three-pronged approach of arrest, drug court, and forced rehab brings in a steady stream of employed, insured adults almost guaranteed to boost ASAM members' rehab success statistics. Quote, Prohibition reduced the public's alcohol intake considerably, its president, Stuart Gitlow, informs the Times. The rate of alcohol-associated illness dropped in a similar fashion. Prohibition was perhaps a political failure, but an impressive success from a public health standpoint. End quote. Unless, of course, you considered the public health standpoint of shifting beer drinkers to hard liquor and people being shot by Al Capone's gang. Look, quick! It's the nimble Compsognathus! A 2-foot bird-like representative of the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America, an organization funded largely by makers of synthetic heroin. Quote, The marijuana industry, like big tobacco, has shown that it has no compunction about marketing its products to our young people, writes Scott M. Gagnon, a youth anti-drug crusader in Maine. Marijuana is not a safe drug. It harms youths. It harms economies with extra social costs. How can this be the way forward for America? Don't our communities deserve better? End quote. Like perhaps almost 10,000 marijuana jobs and thousands more marijuana-related jobs in Colorado with lower crime rates and tax revenue for schools? Of course, no dinosaur exhibit is complete without the Tyrannosaurus Rex, all mouth, small brain, and tiny little forelimbs with no distinguishable purpose. Quote, Project SAM, Smart Approaches to Marijuana, calls upon the federal government to step up its strategy to reduce marijuana use and its consequences, writes Kevin A. Sabet before flashing those scary T-Rex teeth. The call comes amid New York Times editorial urging national legalization, despite early data showing increases in poison center calls, treatment admissions, and stone driving in Colorado. End quote. Scary because he'll use the word poison to describe Maureen Dowd's edible overdosing. Because he'll note rehab increases from legal pot smokers whose employers still drug test. And because he'll ignore that Larimer County DUI checkpoint in May that found zero stone drivers out of over 1,500 cars checked. He continues, quote, In that state, where the legalization of retail marijuana began on January 1st, Sabat wails as his useless forelimbs struggle in the tar, crime has increased and marijuana revenue has barely reached a third of projections, end quote. Natural selection is favoring those whose brains can read Denver's crime stats, which are down in nearly every category, and those who can understand that even a downward revision in revenue estimates for a brand new market still means we're bringing in brand new revenue. So long, drug war dinosaurs. The intelligent mammals with endocannabinoid systems are now taking over. All right, that's our Behind the Headlines for today. I'll have that posted up at probably on High Times. A bunch of my articles up on High Times as well. You can read about how Oregon is going to legalize and have $145 an ounce in our pot stores. I think those Vancouver pot stores will drop their prices real quick. Stick around. We're back with Kim Russell from Florida on medical marijuana legalization there right after the break.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
The International Cannabis Business Conference takes place September 13th and 14th at the Portland Ballroom in the Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Oregon. Featured speakers include Oregon Senator Floyd Prezansky, U.S. Congressman Earl Blumenauer, Daily Dish blogger Andrew Sullivan, author Doug Fine, and Harborside CEO Steve D'Angelo. To learn more, visit our website at internationalcbc.com.
Stony Sundays, replaying Monday at 1 Pacific on 420radio.org.
The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit mjba.net to join today. That's mjba.net. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 32 after the hour, and we're going back to the state of Florida. I was just there a couple of weeks ago with the Bobby Platschorn Meet the Experts 3 conference, and a lot of excited individuals there about the prospects of medical marijuana happening this November in Florida. And joining us to talk about it, we've got Kim Russell, longtime activist. I've known her for quite a while. She's now working with, is it called United for Care now, Kim?
Well, that's just the new campaign slogan that we're using for the same committee.
Okay, so United for Care, Kim Russell is joining us. Hi, Kim. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again, Russ. It's so nice to talk to you.
Yeah, and I just wanted to get your take on that latest Quinnipiac University poll. It's showing 88% support for medical marijuana, even like 83% among Republicans. It's got to be feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, I'm walking on cloud nine right now. Yes, it's fabulous. So I don't want people to get complacent and think that they don't have to get out there and vote and that they don't have to keep spreading word, because how great would that be if Florida really did take it by 88%? That would be loud and clear to our politicians of what we want. There wouldn't be a question about it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I think also Florida serves as kind of a political bellwether in that you've got a large population, like third or fourth in the nation. You're often considered a purple state as far as presidential electoral politics goes. If Florida goes medical marijuana in 2014, there's no doubt this has to be a major campaign topic for the presidency in 2016.
Oh, I would think so.
Well, how about the campaign that's happening in Florida right now with respect to the governor's office? I know Governor Rick Scott has been, you know, pretty anti-medical marijuana. Charlie Crist, the former governor, former Republican-turned-Democrat, is now running for his old job back, and he seems to be more positive on the issue. Do you see Florida's medical marijuana vote having a big effect on the gubernatorial race?
You know, that is a really, really hard question. I really I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to have some effect. I don't know that it will be a dramatic enough effect for Chris to win. I mean, it's still just that close.
So looking forward, when we pass medical marijuana as a constitutional amendment, how much effect could either governor have on its rollout? Do you think if Scott's reelected that he's going to put a bunch of roadblocks, I'd imagine?
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly right. Yes. If Scott is elected, it'll look much like the Charlotte's Web bill that they're trying to legislate right now that outlines 5 dispensaries for the whole entire state. That will go to court. You know, we will fight it and all that other stuff if it comes to that. But, you know, we can't endorse any candidates. But anybody who's very pot-minded out there, yes, if you wanted business in Florida, you would want to vote for Charlie Crist. Rick Scott's not going to allow small businesses a whole lot of opportunity here.
Yeah, and let's go back to what you mentioned there. In 2010, California was fighting for Prop 19. It was getting a lot of good polling. And so Governor Schwarzenegger kind of rushed through this decrim law. You know, we will make it so it's just a ticket for an ounce or less. And that's my worst Schwarzenegger impression. But it kind of took the wind out of the sails somewhat. You know, people said, the Prop 19 campaign was using the fact that people get arrested for marijuana. We decriminalize it. Oh, they're not getting arrested. Do you think that's what's behind this recent passage of this CBD law that you got in Florida and Governor Scott wanting to sign that?
I don't know what I know the person that introduced the bill, Representative Dix, and he absolutely had a whole heart when he did it.
Okay.
I do not believe he was behind the conspiracy whatsoever. Other Republicans in Tallahassee, I think it might have swayed them a little bit to support the bill because we had a constitutional amendment coming up, But I really do think that the people that push it through and push it through really hard do believe in that, and that, we have to get what we can get. Mm. And a larger bill would not have passed through Tallahassee right
sure.
now. So that's why we're at the constitutional amendment.
Is this confusing any potential? I mean, we go back to the 2000 election and a butterfly ballot was confusing. Is this having a CBD bill passed confusing to the voters of Florida concerning the constitutional amendment that's coming up?
Yes, there is some confusion there. And yes, we are taking every opportunity to get there and educate the people and let them understand the difference. But I do think that the Floridians are smart enough, to get it. I do believe that they'll get out there and vote for Amendment 2, but it can be confusing. And a lot of people do think we already have medical marijuana. A lot of people thought that before they even built. They're like, well, where in all is it? Where in all medical
marijuana? That's amazing how fast things change. We're speaking with Kim Russell, a longtime activist. She's with United for Care, fighting for the medical marijuana question 2 in Florida. And, in this question 2, I've seen some pushback now. The only opposition you got really from like the Drug-Free Florida Foundation Society for America's Kids or whatever the hell it's named, got a big infusion of money from billionaire Sheldon Adelson, the Las Vegas casino tycoon, pumped in $2.5 million. And it sounds to me like they're trying to foster a confusion campaign and trying to paint Florida medical marijuana as it's going to be, California 2 electric boogaloo. You're going to have bikini sign twirlers out there on South Beach and, simple recommendations for, our athlete's foot. What do you have to say about those kind of attacks?
That's just propaganda. We have developed a whole new committee called Florida for Care, and that is a team of experts that are really studying what has worked and what has not worked around the nation. And they're going to be giving our recommendations before Amendment 2 goes to vote. So people will see what it is that we're talking about and that we're not talking about opening it up like a California. I think there's a lot to be said about smart regulation. Florida's just not ready for full legalization yet. And we're doing the best we can with the medical. And we're going to do a great job at it.
Well, maybe Florida is. That latest Quinnipiac poll that showed 88% support for medical showed 54% support for legalization. Do you think, passing medical in 2014 and then looking forward to 2016, that it could happen, that soon? Could Florida turn around real quickly on this?
I don't know. I don't think so, because in Florida we have to have the 60%, vote. And usually when people look at funding, all these ballot initiatives, they take lots of money, lots of funding.
Sure.
So when people look at that, they're looking for a 70% approval rating before they come in and fund something like this. So that's what the polls were showing medically, you know, before we got funding for the campaign. That's what the polling was showing, 70%. So they're like, hey, we're going to fund you. Okay.
Suddenly we're popular.
Yeah, right.
Are you personally, I know you've been doing this for a long time. We've been working together for, you know, as long as I've been in activism. Are you surprised at how fast not just Florida, but the nation is starting to turn on the marijuana issue?
No. I thought it was going to happen a lot sooner.
Yeah.
When I started being an activist, I did not think it would take this long.
Oh.
So I am delighted that it's happening. I just wish it would have happened sooner. But yeah, I mean, it's just great to see. And I knew with somebody like John Morgan, you know, when he stands up for Florida, I mean, you know, a lot of people turn around and listen.
Yeah,
definitely.
John Morgan getting involved. John Morgan getting involved had a huge impact, not just financially, but just from, you know, adding gravitas to the issue. You know, the folks in Tallahassee didn't think it was just about, you know, marijuana activists anymore, that it was, you know, high profile lawyers and their families as well.
Right. Exactly. He's always been fighting for the people, and a lot of people respect him. And yeah, I mean, he just couldn't be a better champion for the cause. I could not have asked for a better champion for the cause, for sure.
Now, with United for Care, what sort of tactics do you plan on employing? I mean, gosh, with 88% support, it seems like really get out the vote would be the most important thing.
Yes, absolutely. We're still pushing through the end. Through the end of this month, which is almost over now,
sure.
We're pushing for absentee ballots, trying to get a huge step up on people getting their absentee ballots in. So if anybody's in Florida and wants to be proactive on that, we're trying to get the early vote. So we'll have a couple hundred, you know, absentee ballots before we even go to the voting polls. But between now and then, yes, it's absolutely getting out the vote, making people understand that, you know, the SB 1030 is not the answer to the medical marijuana need in Florida.
And that's the CBD bill that you passed.
Exactly, the CBD bill, right.
Other than that misconception, are there other common misconceptions you hear from Florida voters when they ask you about this this medical marijuana amendment?
The biggest one that I do hear is people, you know, are afraid it's going to get abused. And my only comment to that is pharmaceuticals are abused every single day, and people don't die from marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's the only comeback that I can come.
Yeah. And in Florida, you know, of course, has had known as the pill mill capital. I know that that's been a big issue there with the overproduction and overprescribing of OxyContin and other synthetic opioids. Does that figure into these discussions when you're talking to those folks?
Yeah. People are a little more skeptical. They're afraid that we're going to turn into a pill mill, and you know, but it's not a big stumbling stone at all. I mean, we really are having a huge majority of the support. It's really not, you know, people, it's all about compassion, and that's the only issue that we're really hitting people with is compassion.
Now,
when you talk to people in the street, they're like, yeah, if my grandma needed it, sure, I'd want her to have it.
Of course.
You know, people can relate to people in suffering and people in need, you know?
All right. Well, let's get you some more support and more help, because 88% is just not good enough. Let's kick that up to 90. How can people get in touch with you guys and help you out in Florida if they want to get involved?
Oh, please go to our website, which is www.unitedforcare.org. You can sign up to be a volunteer on there if you have extra time to spend. If not, always donations help buy advertising. Right now, we're buying our advertising for the fall. To get our advertising campaign up there. But yes, door-to-door canvassing, you know, all that typical political stuff we're going to be implementing, and having groups of people going out to different events. And it's a lot of fun getting out there, spreading the word. And like I said, the support is just through the roof. So it's really finally, after all these years, right, instead of getting the snarls at the festivals, we're now getting high fives.
Yeah, it's very nice, and it couldn't happen in a better state, especially the home state of Kevin Sabat. That is what makes my heart grow three sizes.
There you go.
Kim Russell from United for Care, fighting for the medical marijuana question 2 amendment in Florida. You can learn more about it. Just go to unitedforcare.org. And Kim, thanks so much for all the years you've been doing this. You've been fighting hard, and I'm glad to see that you're getting such success now.
Thank you. you, Russ. Thank you for supporting me for all these years. When many others wouldn't, you were always there. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I find good activists and I try to support them. So thank you for doing what you do.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you so much. All right, when we come back, we're going to take time in the Radical Rant segment to rant about something you never would have thought would have gone with marijuana. You know, I've got this thing where I can find a way to link the drug war to just about anything. Coming up next, dildos. Stick around.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. At Royal Queen Seeds, we've got premium feminized cannabis seeds, including auto-flowering varieties for the medical cannabis user. We've got bulk shipments available and new CBD oil. Plus, we accept payment in Visa, MasterCard, and Bitcoin, as well as other methods. Check out our website at royalqueenseeds.com for more information. We are located in the Netherlands, and we have online grow experts ready to help you now at royalqueenseeds.com. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
A lot of drug abuse messages are full of statistics. How many people die? How many lives are ruined? How much drug use is costing the economy. But this message isn't about numbers. It's about crack. And the message is simple. Crack can kill you. I won't bore you with the statistics, except to say that it's not worth becoming one for a 10-minute high.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. We can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
You can't handle the truth.
An entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality, no. Immorality, generally.
How in the century you have slurred the meaning of the words we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And for today's rant, we're actually going to do a little bit of activism. And this is kind of a crossover into police intimidation tactics. And while it sounds silly when you see the graphic on the screen, Dildos for Justice, There's actually a serious story behind this. And so joining us at the booth this weekend at the High Times Cannabis Cup in Clio, Michigan, we met Keeman Dayhuff, and she is an activist with Michigan Moms United. This is our interview.
Welcome back to our coverage of the High Times Cannabis Cup in Clio, Michigan. And there's the most interesting set of T-shirts next to me in the booth that say Dildos for Justice. And I've never seen anything like that at any event. So I have a guest here to tell us all about it. Tell folks your name, your organization, and just what the hell is Dildos for Justice?
My name is Keeman Dayhuff, and I'm with Michigan Moms United, founded by Ms. Charmy Golson. Our current campaign is Dildos for Justice, and it does sound a little bit shocking, and we hope it does shock you and make you ask what's going on, because what's behind it is our civil asset forfeiture laws here in Michigan. Your property can be taken from you without you being convicted of a crime, and that seems kind of backwards. And they can, including your sex toys.
What?
Your sex toys.
So they bust you for weed.
Yes.
They come and got a warrant, and they get into your house, and they take the weed, and they take the lights, and they take your money, and they take your dildos?
They take your dildos. They take any naked pictures you may have of your significant other. They take any pornography you may have in your house that you are privately enjoying.
Because this somehow helps you grow weed.
Well, I guess the logic there is what they'll do is they'll come in on these warrants and they will take your grow equipment, your product, and your guns if you have them.
Yeah.
And they'll also take your sex toys. Now, the reason for that is because later on when they're building a case against you, they'll photograph your product, your grow equipment, and your sex toys laid out all together, all in one place. So that later on when you decide to go to court or you want a jury trial, jury nullification, by the way, if anybody's listening, then it all becomes part of the case. And so when you go and sit in the courtroom, you have to explain your product, your grow equipment, and your hustlers.
And why you have the black mambo.
Right.
Whatever, right?
Right.
It's a threat. It's an intimidation. It's a tactic
absolutely.
That law enforcement is using here to try to embarrass you
absolutely.
From wanting, I'll just take the plea deal. I'll just settle.
Sure. It's belittling. It's dehumanizing. And in a way, it sort of attacks women in a special way. Because when men go into the local, police station, by the way, after they're not convicted of a crime because there was something wrong with the arrest warrant or, some procedure was not followed, when you're not convicted and you can get your property back, you then have to go to your local neighborhood police and say, excuse me, you know that purple dildo that you took for me? Could I get that back? And it's kind of awkward for women, and that's horrible to think that our mothers, the mothers of your children in Michigan, are having to do that in this war against drugs, and it's ridiculous. And if we have to put a law in the books that says you can't steal our sex toys, we'll do it. But then we're going to have a really serious conversation about how we handle civil asset forfeiture in this state. And so that's fair. I mean, if we have to go that far, we can, but it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek campaign to talk about the real serious, very real issue of civil asset forfeiture here in Michigan.
Yeah, and, civil asset forfeiture happens everywhere. You can learn a lot about this. Fear, forfeiture endangers American rights is one of the orgs
absolutely.
Out there.
Yes.
And I suppose Michigan Moms would have some info for?
Absolutely. We are on Facebook, and we're a fun group of women, and we, as the mothers in this state, we're tired of seeing our loved ones go to jail. We're tired of fearing for our children. We're tired of, because we choose to medicate with a plant, we're tired of being afraid our children are going to be ripped out of our arms at 2 o'clock in the morning by armed men. Hmm. And we're done. And this should be women all across the country, and it really is going to be the women who turn the tide in this. And, you guys have played war long enough, and we're tired of, let's end this damn drug war, and we're tired of asking nicely.
Very
Mama's
good.
Done asking nicely.
And if mom ain't happy, ain't
right.
nobody happy. and please, give us your name again, because
My name is Keeman Dayhuff.
Keeman?
Yes, Keeman Dayhoff. Yes,
that's
sir.
That's a very interesting name, and I'm going to have to have you spell it when I save the file.
But I can do that.
Michigan Moms United, and, you know, this is something that's impacting families across the country. There was just recently on the John Oliver show, Sunday night. This is an HBO show. Mm-hmm. John Oliver did a segment on the mass incarceration in America and pointed out how this is so widespread that Sesame Street had
Isn't
a segment explaining to kids, you know, my daddy's in jail.
When
well,
Oscar
okay.
the Grouch has to explain to your 4-year-old where daddy's at. I mean, come on, America. Does nobody, I mean, this is getting serious when we're tailoring our children's programming to making children deal with incarcerated parents. We need to rethink how we're looking at this nation.
Very good point. Very good point. Now, any other topics as far as Michigan Moms that you'd like to focus on while we're here?
I'd actually like to say a few words. I don't know if anybody out there remembers anything from the Free Bree campaign.
Yeah, I remember Free Bree.
Right. Steve and Maria Green here in Lansing, they had their 6-month-old breastfeeding daughter, Bree, removed from their home simply for being medical marijuana patient and caregiver. Thankfully, thank God, we got Bree back. But the only way that happened was through the court of public opinion. And that was because we went outside DHS headquarters and we chanted and we got online and we talked on Facebook. And it was the people that changed that. It was the people that brought her home. It was not the representatives who you know, were up in the big offices who wanted to really do the right thing. And that's what I want to say to everybody is get out there and get educated. There's so much online about the CPS and what people are going through. You know, it says in our law here in Michigan that we can't be punished for being medical marijuana patients. And now if coming in and taking our children isn't being punished, I don't understand what is. Yeah. If that's not the worst thing you can do to people. For choosing a plant that's been on the planet longer than the government that outlawed it. It's insane. It's insane.
It's incredibly cruel and unusual punishment.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times we see child endangerment charges because there were plants in a home. But oftentimes this happens. I have these little tricks that I do whenever there's this news story that the other side tries to paint as an awful thing on our side. And when these cases were happening, there was a spate of cases where there's child endangerment charges against people who were growers, people that medical marijuana patients, mm-hmm. and so forth. And at the same time, in my home county, a woman had left her 3-month-old and 2-year-old in the Jeep where there was a loaded handgun that the 3-month-old, one kid got a hold of and shot the other kid.
Right.
No child endangerment charges, no children taken away
because
in those cases.
Because gun owners aren't vilified the same way marijuana smokers are.
And there's an interesting intersection of those in that if you're a medical marijuana patient, you can't be a gun owner because of the...
Which is a whole other topic. Which is something we could do an entire other segment
Absolutely.
On. Yeah, and it's strange to me that the vilification of people who choose to medicate with marijuana... you know, and I truly believe, because if you look at the history, I truly believe we're in just a blink of a time where we're living that way. You know, in the history of the world, marijuana has been accepted, used, and embraced. Yeah. And so truly, we're just in the blink of an eye of where it's being, you know, outlawed and where people are looking at it like this. So I have faith in humanity that eventually we'll all get around together and the politics can be set aside and common sense will rule.
Yeah, I think it won't be too long before we're having to explain to young people, no, really, we used to lock people up for this.
Right,
really?
I know, it's crazy. I know. I hope that's true. I hope that's true.
Thank you so much for joining us and telling us the story of Dildos for Justice. And one last time, give folks the email addresses or Facebook,
YouTube,
whatever.
We're on Facebook. We actually have a membership drive going on right now. And for $25, you can become a member of Michigan Moms United. And you'll get a t-shirt and we'll even give you a real big special can of mama thank you.
Oh, that's very awesome. All right, folks, we're going to go back to some music and we'll have more interviews later on here at the 420 Radio booth from Clio, Michigan at the Cannabis Cup. Yeah, we had a good time there at Clio and I only called it Clio once on the air, so I think I did pretty good. Keeman Dayhoff from Michigan Moms United, and you know, that was the first time I'd ever heard of that tactic. It's something I'd never considered, that cops would take your porn, your nudie pics, and your sex toys into evidence to try to intimidate you from not wanting to go to trial and having a jury of your peers and the public and the media
asking you about what, you know, Mr. Stallion's doing there in your collection or whatever the hell. Oh my God, it's just so pernicious, this drug war. It seeps into everything. And speaking of that, stay tuned for hour two after the 20 after break, after 420. You'll get to see my presentation on marijuana and civil rights, how it affects all 10 of the Bill of Rights presented at the High Times Cannabis Cup in Clio, Michigan in its entirety. So coming up next, the infamous Bobby Black from High Times Magazine sits down at our desk to tell us what's up with High Times on the radio. You'll want to hear this one. For everyone here, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalruss.com. You're taking seeds, you're planting, you're growing, you're trying, you're